Hello, pals o' mine. Hope you're doing well, swell, all of the above. I don't know if you've heard of this blog spot called Advanced Style. It's very cool. As a biographer, personal historian, I appreciate it. And just generally, I was related to some very cool advanced age people. I had a great aunt that set the standard for all the girls in the family, and I mean girls, from girls all the way up to adults, that you could do anything that you want. She built a car by herself. She learned how to build a house by herself. She used to hitchhike up the coast. This is in the 20s with just a bedroll. So anyway, there's this gentleman, his name is Ari Seth Cohen, and his grandmother, who has a lot of fashion style, inspired him to start this blog. And just to give you, to read this about page for you, he says, "I roam the streets of New York looking for the most stylish and creative older folks. Respect your elders and let these ladies and gents teach you a thing or two about living life to the fullest. Advanced Style offers proof from the wise and silver-haired set that personal style advances with age." So check out his blog. It's advancedstyle.blogspot.com. But cooler than that, a friend of his sketched out these drawings based on photos that Mr. Cohen took. So there's this Advanced Style coloring book. It is so friggin' cool. And why it is so friggin' cool is that all ages obviously can color it. It's not really detailed. It has just the basic general outline of scarves, hats, whatever the case may be. But I love the fact that children could color this and broaden their perspective on what coloring books can be comprised of, to introduce a little person to style of an older person is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. So you can get this coloring book. It's called Advanced Style, The Coloring Book. Paperback on Amazon. It's just $9. Seriously, check it out. It's just a great, great idea. I believe there's a documentary planned in the works about some of his subjects. So check it out, will ya? So I've got this all-class reunion scheduled this weekend. All the class. My high school was only open from 55 to 83 because families didn't move, so younger people didn't move in. So numbers got too low and they closed the school down. It's now a community center, but the high school has been gone since 1988. So they're having an all-class reunion. Over 300 people are supposed to be there Saturday night. It's a little too much for me, frankly. It feels like a conference or something. In fact, I might just wait till after the dinner and just hang out for the cocktails. But it kind of surprises me how many people are so excited about this. And, you know, I think, well, yeah, it'll be kind of fun. There'll be a few people I know, but all classes. I mean, I don't know anybody from 58, and it would be fun to talk to them. But it's just interesting to me how for some, and I really think it's a smaller percentage, have these glory days memories of high school. I think the average person, like myself, we have some fond memories, but a lot of it's growing pains, not just physically, but emotionally, and, you know, maturity. And, you know, there was times I would prefer not to relive again. I just would prefer not to have to go through it. So I'm kind of ambivalent about it. You know, I mean, I was a typical bratty teenager, complaining about everything, you know, never happy about anything. I remember my mom was going through this, it's like when all the self-help books came out, and she was going through them all because she was trying to figure her own life out. And I remember shuffling my feet, dragging them, I should say, into the house, and just kind of mumbling and turning the TV on and just being a slug, and her coming in and trying to help me. You know, "Are you okay? Is everything okay?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm fine. Is it boys? I'm fine. If I wanted to shrink, I would go to one. No, you wouldn't. You're not that kind of person. Like, ah. And then I'd shuffle and mumble out the room into my bedroom and slam it and try to hide out. My mom had caught one of those books, you know, I'm okay, you're okay. And my dad's response as a joke was to get the paperback, I'm okay, you're not so hot, which didn't go over too well, as you can imagine, one of many reasons why she left him eventually. But it is interesting, these self-help books, in fact, especially in the 80s, there were just a plethora of them. And there was this, I don't think it's here anymore, but it was here for 6 or 7 years, this ongoing play, a series of skits called Six Women with Brain Death. And one of them was, this woman just sat on the edge of the stage and she had a stack of books. And she would pick up one at random and read the title, and you could hear twitters in the audience of people who recognized it, who actually bought the book. And I remember one of them was, I think the title was something like, How to Have an Orgasm for 60 Minutes. And she says, who has the time? So I bring this up because I'm reading this book. It's called Pilgrim by Timothy Findlay. It'll be easier for me just to read the jacket than try to explain it. On April 15th, 1912, ironically, the very date on which more than 1,000 people lost their lives as the Titanic sank, a figure known only as Pilgrim tries to commit suicide by hanging himself from a tree. When he is found 5 hours later, his heart miraculously begins beating again. This isn't his first attempt to end his life, and it is decided that steps must be taken to prevent Pilgrim from doing himself further harm. Escorted by his beloved friend, Lady Sybil Quatermain, Pilgrim is admitted to the famous Burkholzi Psychiatric Clinic in Zurich, where he will begin a battle of psyche and soul with Carl Jung, the self-professed mystical scientist of the unconscious, who is also a slave to his own sexual appetites. Hungry for intellectual and spiritual challenge, Jung is fascinated by this compelling and enigmatic patient who refuses to speak. Slowly, though, Jung coaxes him to reveal the astonishing story of his existence. Pilgrim claims to be ageless and sexless, having lived as both male and female for 4,000 years. Asserting that he has witnessed the greatest events of human history, he recounts his involvement with numerous figures who have shaped world culture, including Leonardo da Vinci, Oscar Wilde, and Henry James. For Jung, probing this patient's mind proved a challenge that is both frustrating and enlightening. Is Pilgrim delusional? Are his memories only dreams? Or something far more fantastic? Is it madness or a miracle? These interactions with Pilgrim have a profound and unexpected effect on the esteemed and controversial doctor's own life and sanity, for his dreams soon become entwined with those of his patients, while the anchor of his soul, his marriage, begins to disintegrate. The puzzle, called Pilgrim, will seemingly lead either to Jung's salvation or his damnation. Beautifully written, deeply evocative, and filled with a fascinating cast of historical characters, Pilgrim is both a richly layered story of a man's search for his own destiny, an absorbing, mind-expanding novel that explores the timeless questions of humanity and consciousness. It really is an interesting book. And I Googled a little bit about Jung as far as his marriage, his wife was concerned, because in the book, she's pregnant with their fifth child. And in his actual life, Jung's lifelong affair with a woman began when his wife was pregnant with the fifth child. So I haven't come across that yet, but this was written after his journal became public, when the public was allowed to see it, when the family released it. So this guy's done a lot of research. The book is, about an inch, a little over an inch thick, but really interesting. Anyway, Author is Timothy Findley. So if you want to wrap your mind around something a little different, there you go. So meanwhile, hikers out there, if you wanted to have a beer but didn't want to carry the heavy weight of the bottle or can, well, there's a company called Pat's Backcountry Beverages, Pat's Backcountry from Alaska. And I haven't tried it yet. My friends haven't tried it yet either. We were just sharing the website, the concept of it. So basically, you get this condensed version of beer, and then you buy their carbonator. And so you carry the carbonator, which looks like it's about the size of your average water bottle that you bring on a hike. And you combine the two and you suddenly have beer on the trail. I don't know. Why don't you check it out too? Let me know what you think of it. Again, it's called Pat's Backcountry Beverages, and the website is patsbcb.com. After all, I believe it was Plato who said he was a wise man who invented beer. Fran Lebowitz was never a big fan of outdoors. She said once, "Nature is by and large to be found out of doors, a location where it cannot be argued. There are never enough comfortable chairs, especially when you're backpacking, although REI has a great four-legged chair for backpacking. So comfortable. And a little higher than the two-legged ones, too. You know, you're not as close to the ground. So, do something different this week. Take a coloring book drawing of somewhere outdoors. Transfer it onto watercolor paper and produce a watercolor coloring book page. Fabulous!